and welcome to the UK Gamers Podcast. Well, what a year we're having already. Last year we had Rackham close up shop and sell itself off. No news on that still, I'm afraid, but that was a sign of times to come, I believe. Now, sure enough, this year started off with a bang. We've had Iron Crown Enterprise right at the start of the year post on their website that they were shutting down and they'd had enough. So another old vendor kind of gone by the wayside. Losing Middle Earth wouldn't have helped all those months ago, or years ago even. So I'm surprised they managed to struggle on as long as they have before deciding that they'd had enough. But there you go. Great company, no longer with us. Now, in other news, we had some real weird stuff going on with War Games Factory and Bastion of Exilis fame. Seems to be a lot of heated debate around it and a lot of mudslinging, so I don't really want to comment on it, apart from you should go check it out. Seem to be some problems at War Games Factory, various bits and pieces posted on the forums, and then the announcement that basically the company was under new ownership and management, and then some kind of fairly heated debate from ex-staff members who obviously are not too happy with the situation. I let you decide who is telling the truth and who is lying and who's just bitching, but obviously something kicked off, not helped by the miniatures page open letter. Anyway, I don't really want to comment because there's no real firm details, but needless to say, stuff has happened there, and that has obviously put a bit of a cat amongst the pigeons. The firm, as I say, has been bought and put under new management, and you can make of that what you will. Now, Bastion had a very, very similar situation, which, of course, helped reignite the flames around War Games Factory. But basically, there is, again, very odd situation. Beast of War made an announcement first, and that kicked off a bit of debate on Beast of the War and also on the Exilis official forums. And then subsequently, an official announcement came out that the founders and ex-staff members had been basically cast out. Now, what that meant for Bastion is a little bit hazier. There's talk about Exilis is still sort of alive, but no real details. It's very, very vague, so I don't really want to comment on it. Now, Bastion having problems with Exilis didn't surprise me, I'm afraid. I thought the miniatures were good. I thought a lot of the game looked pretty good, and the fluff was really nice. But this idea of computer and miniatures didn't sit comfortably with me, and I've got a feeling a lot of other people felt like that. Now, that is partly because we are very resistant to change, but my main beef with it wasn't so much that it was on a PC, but it was the fact it wasn't on my PC, which means exactly if a company goes under, what happens to the game? Well, it just disappears. At least if I own the CD with all the rules and the mechanics to make it, okay, it's not going to get maintained, but at least I still have it. And that's my concern. So it'd be interesting to see what the industry decides was the situation with Exilis. I think it's a great idea, and it's got lots of potential, but I'm not 100% sure they got it quite right. If you're a big Exilis fan, I'm sure you're going to violently disagree with me, and a lot of people have been saying, oh, I really like the idea of getting into it, but I was a bit put off, and of course, a lot of the fans quite rightly turn around and say, well, if you like the look of it, why didn't you get into it? If you got into it, the money would have been there and everything would have been fine and dandy. And they might well have a point. So I'm hoping Exilis does survive in whatever form it ends up being. I love some of the sculpts. I think it's got some really nice stuff. And their battle board, I was very tempted to buy. It looked really nice, the plastic battle board. Obviously a lot cheaper than the Games Workshop one. Anyway, so there you go. So that was kind of four financially related crises. But again, just recently, there's been another weird thing. The Michigan Toy Soldier store has hit the news. Apparently, there's been something involving Peter Jackson, as in the film director's credit card. So again, I think 2011 is going to be one of those things where that Chinese proverb comes to haunt us, you know, may you live in interesting times. And I think we are living in very interesting times. Money is something that keeps coming up on the news with layoffs and cutbacks and this and that and the other. So I think the game industry is in for a really tough 2011. I don't think it's a disaster. I think we can be all right, but You know, when we have GW having problems last year with the shares and everything, and I believe it was recently in the paper as well, I was heard from a friend. So all sorts of stuff going on. Anyway, let's get off all this doom and gloom and talk about something positive. Now, on the miniatures fronts, lots of good stuff coming out. Infinity producing some great stuff. The Plastic Soldier Company, that looks like they're going quite heavily on the 15mm stuff. I actually saw them at Bovington. They had, now let me get this right, I think it was 15, 20 and 28mm Russians. And they look pretty good. And for a decent price, I think they're excellent value. 15 and 20mm, to my mind, look better than 28, but yeah, pretty good. And nice to see a new company having a go. And what I like about them is you're going to be able to pick up 20mm plastic, but in a hardish plastic rather than the rather irritating soft plastic you often get with the 20mm stuff. So lots of good stuff there. I believe there's lots of other stuff which I'm afraid isn't on my radar, so apologies if I miss out on them. Bolt Action, continuing to do great stuff with the 28mm, both plastic, metal and the resin vehicles. Really good stuff coming out from them. Looking forward to having a close look at some of their German stuff. I've got a couple of 28mm bits just for a little skirmish game I hope to have. Really nice. Definitely check them out. Lovely stuff. Right. Soda Pop continues to do some really nice, funky stuff as well, particularly if you're into your manga type stuff. Great load of figures there. Perry continue to amaze me. They've just brought out some pre-orders, I believe, for the Plastic Suaves, or Suaves, not 100% sure how to pronounce that. Apologies to all you American Civil War aficionados. Really like the look of those, and I got to say, I think Perry right now is probably the best manufacturer out there. They're producing these really nice-looking figures at a really good price. Absolutely blown away by their stuff. If you like your stuff a little bit older, Grip and Beast, their 28mm plastic kits look pretty good. I have a few of their Vikings in 28mm metal. But I really do like the look of their plastic stuff. Nice, easy to convert, and most Grip and Beast stuff I find tend to paint up really well. So lots of great bits and pieces out there. Mantic, of course, very good at their marketing, I have to say. They're constantly in the news. They've now got these new kind of Chaos Dwarves, which have now officially been named the Abyssal Dwarves. They do look quite good. I think they probably work better for me than the standard dwarves. I actually prefer the look of the Abyssal Dwarves. They're kind of very kind of Aztec meets Melibonian meets, well, Chaos. Really nice. They've got some really nice paint jobs, I have to say, as well. So congratulations to the painters that the Mantic guys have managed to find. And, of course, they've got these fantastic army deals. They've also got some pre-VAT increase deals, which I believe are probably ending in the next 3 days. Really good stuff. Unfortunately, the army deals are rather expensive, but you do get a lot of plastic for your money. And Mantic continuing to impress me. Otherworld Miniatures seem to be doing some great stuff. So if you're into your classic D&D, go check out Otherworld. And they've got some great voucher deals, which again, probably coming to an end soon. Really good stuff there. Privateer Press continue to impress as well with their fantastic War Machine stuff, and they've also, of course, got another game system which I'll be coming back to in a moment. So lots of great stuff out there. Now on the board games front, I haven't really seen too much to get me excited right now. Academy Games and MMP seem to be doing some good stuff. MMP in particular seem to have fitted a turbo to their engine, because suddenly they're producing products left, right and centre, including the legendary map pack that is now actually shipping, I believe. In fact, I believe people have even got them in their grubby little hands. Now, I did put that on pre-order many, many moons ago, possibly 2 or even 3 years ago. Unfortunately for me, I did cancel that because, money got a bit tight and it just looked like it would never happen. And I believe it's been at least 6 months since I cancelled it before they've actually shipped it. But they do get round to it eventually, and they're getting round to it a lot quicker now. Obviously, with the map pack being out, that means all the out-of-print modules are likely to come on stream fairly soon. The journal seems to be going great again. They've reinvigorated that. The action pack seems to be going well. And, of course, the starter kits are going well. So they really got their act together. They're very impressed. Now, Academy Games, they got quite an ambitious project on Conflict of Heroes, which sort of competes but also stands alongside ASL. Great stuff. Price of Honor has finally shipped, and very pleased with that. I actually have my copy here, and very nice it is too. Unfortunately, as to the rest of the board games, I've not really been keeping a very close eye. I've had a very close look at the Living Card Games, though. I'm particularly pleased to see there's a new Lord of the Rings game coming out from Fantasy Flight Games. That's definitely something I'm going to have a very close look at when we've actually got a product shipping. The other game system, obviously, that's caught my eye is Dust Tactics, which, with the Fall of Rackham, is pretty much the only way you can get official support for that sort of 80-43 style of game. Obviously, it is quite a bit different and has gone with this grid system, which some people do and don't like. But great looking game, and definitely one I'm going to keep a very close eye on. Anyway, I think that's enough of news. Let's talk about my wonderful Christmas. I've obviously been a very, very good boy because Santa was very nice to me. I got Price of Honor, Conflict of Heroes, really, really nice. No load of new counters for Awakening the Bear, a couple of new maps, some nice new scenarios, and also ties together very well with Storms of Steel. Now, Awakening the Bear, I believe, is actually pretty much out of stock everywhere. Academy Games has run out, the suppliers have run out, so really it's only whatever stock's left on the shelves at shops. Now, that's a bit of a shame, because I really like the Conflict of Heroes game, and it's a bit annoying that one of the games is now out of print, but I believe the maps are still available. And ironically, if you haven't yet got Awakening the Bear, or any Conflict of Heroes, in fact, you're probably best off buying the maps from Awakening the Bear, the Price of Honor, and Storms of Steel. You can then download the PDFs off Academy Games' website for the scenarios that you're going to be missing. So, great, great game system. Check it out. I believe there is some new stuff. There's some PTO stuff in the pipeline. I believe there's a kind of Normandy-based box as well. Lots of great stuff from them. Sturm Europa seems to still be in development hell at the moment. I really like the look of that. Kind of fighting a complete war with economics and production and R&D and all that sort of crazy stuff. Looks really interesting, and they've also managed to get it down to a sensible time frame as well. So really hoping to hear more about Sturm Europa. And Academy also have some interesting stuff for the American Civil War. So I can really see me wanting to pick up stuff for my birthday from Academy. So yeah, anyway, Price of Honor, very good. Very happy to have got that for Christmas. I've also managed to pick up a few other bits as well. Well, quite a few other bits. Wings of War, very popular with me. About four planes for Christmas. Very pleased with them. Probably the best planes they've produced so far. Really looking forward to seeing what else they come out with. I'm particularly hoping the Eindecker and the Pusher are coming out fairly soon. They're the two planes I really, really like alongside the SE-5, which is one of the ones I picked up for Christmas. So, whilst they're getting a little bit expensive now, I think they're still worth it. Go check out Wings of War. Lots of great stuff from them. Other miniature bits and pieces I got. I got myself a War Machine Mark II rulebook. Very pleased with that. Lots of nice high-quality products on show there. The rules are very well produced. And very nice to have the full set of rules. I just need the battle boxes now. So something for this year. The other game that Privateer do is Monsterpocalypse. I'm going to come back to that because I'm actually going to be talking about that after the break. So I also got some Monsterpocalypse as well. Now, you would have thought that would be enough. But no, I was so good, I got some more. I got myself some Infinity. I've had Pan Oceana Force for quite a while now. But they are a bit Mr. Cheese. So I actually asked for either some little upgrades to my Pan Oceana or a different faction. And I actually got myself a different faction. So I've got some Islamists to assemble and paint. Really nice looking figures. And some really good stuff been coming out. Beast of War in particular have had some nice previews of upcoming miniatures. And Infinity, absolutely fantastic game. If you haven't tried it, go out and buy it. It's that good. Really nice. Couple of weird rule bits here that might catch you up. out, but on the whole, pretty solid and very, very nice. And there is a free PDF on the official website, which I believe is Infinity the Game, but you might need to Google that because my memory might be playing tricks on me. So really good there. So very pleased with that, and you wouldn't have thought it could get any better, but it did, because I also managed to pick up some Malifaux. Got the rule book and three crew boxes. Now, Malifaux is very, very nice, suited for kind of less than 10 figures a side, and you could probably get away with much less than that even. I've actually got a Pandora crew box. I think add Teddy to it and you're pretty much done. So for about £28, you've got a complete force. Now, per figure, they are a bit pricey. They're also quite thin and very nice painting figures. There is a bit of concern over their robustness for play. However, don't let that put you off. They are really, really excellent. There's some very nice bits on YouTube about Malifaux. You also want to check out the Malifaux website. Now, there has been a switch to version 2 recently, so there is a free rule book coming out in PDF form, so you might want to snag yourself a copy of that. I believe they are still available, but they're going to be going away fairly soon. There are some version 2 replacement cards, so potentially you can redeem your old version 1 cards and get sent out version 2 cards, or you can just snag yourself a PDF and print out the new version 2 alternatives. As I say, though, that option is going to be going away because obviously production has moved across to version 2. And that means any new boxes you buy should be coming with the version 2 bits already in there. I believe a couple of the figures are actually on version 3, so don't be surprised if you buy a box and you've got version 2 and version 3 cards mixed together. There's only a few figures. Leviticus, I think, is version 3, and I got a feeling someone else might be as well. Anyway, very good website. Go check them out. If you want to go to the forums, I believe it's called The Community, on the Weird website. So go check them out. Very, very good. Very pleased with that, and that's definitely going to be hitting the table as well. So there you go. That was pretty much Christmas. I then sold off a load of stuff, and that got me looking at my Amiga. So I've actually bought a couple of bits for my Amiga so I can use like PS2 mice rather than dedicated Amiga mice. It's going to make it a bit easier to source nice cheap mice for my Amiga. Now, the Amiga came out in 1985, and it just destroyed everything else. And I'm probably going to have to try and do a little chat about the Amiga at some stage, because I love my Amiga. I've still got a 1200. I think mine's from about 92-93, that sort of region, just about the time where Commodore basically failed and got taken over. Really, really good system, the 1200, and there's lots of really good stuff just come out for it. I believe there is going to be a new Flicker Flick fixer in the works, the Mark 2, because the Mark 1 is totally sold out and sold like hotcakes. There's also these ACA 1230 adapters coming out, and there's a cheap, cheerful one, which, if we're realistic, is the one we should all buy, which is very good for your 1200. I believe there's a 42 just been announced, and a 56, which apparently is just pretty much sold out. I went a bit nuts and bought myself a 56 megahertz one. You never know what I might end up needing it for. But the main reason to buy these accelerators is because these days, if you've got a 1200, you're probably going to fit a compact flash card to it, load it up with a load of WHD load games, and that's when you're going to need extra memory and a little bit more grunt to make that all work nicely. And these ACA cards are perfect for that. In fact, the 28 megahertz one is absolutely awesome, and I'm just amazed. Here we are 20-25 years later, and the Amiga still can impress. Now, admittedly, the PCs and Macs have moved on a bit, but there's still some stuff the Amiga does pretty well. And you know, how many Amigas are out there? Loads, and they're still working. Very, very impressive. There's also a virtual floppy disk unit, I believe, out, which is probably the main weakness of the Amiga. Floppies don't tend to last very well, particularly after 20-odd years. So you're going to be able to buy yourself this new virtual floppy kit, and basically I believe it takes SD cards, or you plug it in via USB to your PC, and you basically, via a little doobry, flick it to say what disk is currently in the drive, and as far as the Amiga is concerned, you still have that drive. Now, I believe that virtual floppy kit works on Ataris and other computer models as well. It's not just for the Amiga. So very, very impressive piece of tech. I'm not sure how much it costs. I got a feeling it's not the cheapest option, but a great way of keeping your old retro stuff kicking along. All this retro fun as well. I've been having a lot of fun with the 3DO and Sega Saturn recently. The Dreamcast hasn't been getting so much loving. I am half tempted to sell it, but I know if I sell it, I'll regret it probably within about 2 days. So it's in a box at the moment while I have a think about it. Anyway, enough waffle. Let's take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to be talking about Monsterpocalypse. So see you after this little brief message.
Quick, shut that door, man.
As if that's going to stop it.
Look, it's not my fault the Elder Sign didn't work.
That's because it's shaped like a star.
No, it's shaped like a tree.
Star!
Tree!
Star! Well, it's too late now. We're the last ones.
What about Lady Hetherington?
She set on fire, then exploded.
And Father O'Leary?
He plucked out his own eyeballs and ate them.
Damn. I wish I'd visited Yogg-Sothoth.com more often.
Yogg-Sothoth.com?
Yes, you know, that Call of Cthulhu website. Jolly useful. It's got forums, news, even interviews with the great and the undead.
Oh, I do wish you hadn't said that.
Oh, my lord! Stay away from me, you horror! No!
Well, you'll not take me! What? No! Please, no!
Yogg Radio, a Cthulhu podcast from Yogg-Sothoth.com.
Hello and welcome back. Well, the other Christmas present I got, and I must admit I treated myself as well, was Monsterpocalypse. Now, I've heard about Monsterpocalypse for quite a while, and I decided I wasn't interested because it was a random miniatures game, and I heard the starters often came with a monster and a load of units that weren't compatible, and if you tried to play by the rules properly, that gave you problems, and you'd have to buy a lot of product to actually have a viable force. If you were happy just to play fast and loose with the rules, you just say, well, whatever units you get in your box are your units, just pay whatever cost they are, and away you go. But thematically, and from a game's point of view, that doesn't really work, so it's I'm not interested. Looks interested, but you know, that marketing side, really not for me. I did enough of that with Magic the Gathering. Now, luckily for me and for the world of Monsterpocalypse, they decided to bring out a proper two-player battle box, and this new starter box is fantastic because you get everything you need for two players to fight a full-on force. So you do get random monsters and units, but this time you get a random monster and random units for that monster, but they all basically follow a set theme. I think it's one rare and then two types of units with corresponding elites, and then a couple of kind of random little units of a third type. Now, because of that, you actually get, I think it's 12 units, which is a pretty good force because you're actually only allowed to field 15 in the full rules. And as I say, they're all compatible with each other. So thematically and from a rules point of view, much more solid start. You also get 9 fixed buildings, a two-sided map and a load of dice. Really, really good, I have to say. Much more impressive than the original starters. If you buy enough boxes, you will still occasionally run into the duplication point of view. I got 2 boxes and 4 different types of monsters. So unfortunately, I am missing 2 of the monsters, and one of them is the one I'd really would have liked to have. I'm a bit concerned if I buy a third box, I'm almost certain to get a duplicate. So I might have to look into buying some singles or stuff off eBay or something. But very impressed with the starter boxes. Really good. Now, how does the game work? Well, basically, you have a monster, and the idea is to destroy the other player's monster. And once the monster's destroyed, you win the game. Now, the monster has 2 forms, a standard form and an ultra form. And basically, the ultra form is kind of when you rage up, you get some slightly different abilities. And they typically are slightly better than the normal form, but not always. And it very much depends on the circumstances as to which form you want to be in. Now, these 2 forms have separate hit points. And once you've destroyed the hit points of that form is no longer available. So if you destroy the hyper form, that player can no longer go into hyper form because that form of the monster has been destroyed. So as I say, you need to destroy both types of the monster. So once you've got your monster, you then have to pick your units. And the units basically break down into elites and grunts. Now, elites are typically better, and they often give bonuses to your other units. And what you're limited to is a maximum of 5 elites of any type. So you can't have more than 5 elites of any type. Not any one type, but any type of grunt. Now, the grunts themselves, you can have up to 5 of any one type of grunts. So if your faction's got 4 different types of grunts, you can have any mix of those 4, as long as no one unit type exceeds the number 5. And you can then also have some elites, and as long as your total elites don't exceed 5, that's a legal force. So you've got all of that to do within the 15 unit total. So lots of little choice there, and army fixing. Luckily, with the battle boxes, you don't need to worry about that. That's already been taken care of for you. Now, when you actually come to play the game, you have to pick up to 12 buildings, and a player deploys one building, then the other player deploys one building. You go backwards and forwards until all the building spaces have been taken up on the map. So again, another nice little wrinkle of strategy and tactics there. Now, the reason you want buildings is you can destroy them to gain these things called power dice. Some monsters can destroy buildings to heal or to gain some other advantage. You can also secure the buildings, which will give you an advantage, often allowing you to have power dice or deploy units or drain the other guy's monster of power dice. So these buildings are quite important, and you do want a nice good mix. Now, you get 9 in the battle boxes. They're not necessarily some of the best buildings out there, but they are pretty good solid ones, and for a lot of monsters you might even want 2 or 3 of this one type of building. So you only get 1 of each type, and you do get all 9. So if you buy 3 or 4 boxes, you're going to have duplicates of the buildings, but that's not such a big deal, because often that works to your advantage. So once you've deployed all your buildings, you also deploy where your monster is going to be. It's normally only 2 places you can pick on your side of the table. You then actually start off with a unit turn. And the reason you start off with a unit turn is all of your activation dice, which are these white dice, are going to go in your unit pool. Now, the way the game works is to activate something, you've got to have dice in its pool. Now, your monster has a pool and your units have a pool. So you spend dice to actually deploy units. You spend 1 dice to move your units, and then you can spend dice to actually attack with your units. And depending on the unit, that could be 1, 2, or you know, maybe even 3 or 4 dice. But once all the dice are gone from your unit pool, you're out of actions and you can't use your units anymore. You can then use your monster. But where there's a little extra wrinkle is, if you've got dice in both pools, you can choose which bit you want to activate this turn. So if you've got 3 dice in your monster pool and the rest of your dice in your unit pool, you can choose to activate your monster or your units. But once you've picked who you want to activate, you can't then activate the other type. So, for example, if you activate your monster, that means you can't activate your units. If you activate your units, you can no longer activate your monster. So anyway, when you activate stuff, the dice go backwards and forwards across the table, depending on, you know, who you're doing and what you're doing with them. Now, that's great. Nice, simple mechanic. But there's, again, another little wrinkle on top of that. There's these 2 extra types of dice, the boost dice and the powered dice. Now, the boost dice are blue, and different units are particularly good at shooting or attacking or whatever. So let's say you're attacking with someone who's very good in melee. They might have up to 2 dice can be spent on attacks, so you can spend 1 or 2 white dice. But then they might maybe have 1 or 2 blue boost dice, which you just get. So, for example, if you're attacking a small, weak unit, you might decide to attack it with 1 white dice and your 2 blue dice. That will leave you with some white dice to do something else with a different unit. So, again, a nice another little wrinkle, and you'll find this throughout Monster Apocalypse. What is, at its basic level, a very simple beer and pretzel great game for kids? When you play with all the rules and all the little tactics and everything, it becomes really, really deep. And I like that in games. That's why I quite like Carcassonne, for example. Very basic rules, but very, very deep gameplay. So, anyway, you decide to attack. You destroy a unit. Now, whenever you destroy a unit, you get a power dice for your monster. And monsters are the only things that can use power dice. If you secure or destroy buildings, that will sometimes give you power dice. And there's various spots on the map that you can secure by basically sitting on them. And that can often give you power dice as well. Now, The great thing about power dice is they're what you use to make your monster better. Now, with power dice, you can change to your hyper form if you're in your normal form, and different monsters have a different cost for doing that. You can actually do what's known as a power attack, things like headbutt and throw and swat and stuff like that. And that's really useful. But in addition, if you're a monster, you can also decide to boost up your attack or to actually do extra moves. So to move one extra square, you just burn a power dice and you move one extra square. So you can, if you've got a lot of power dice, you can actually really get a shift on and move across the board and grab hold of another monster and throw it through a building. So really, really good little mechanic there. So lots and lots of depth and strategy there. As I say, if you play it with the basic rules, ignoring pretty much most of the icons, it's pretty simple. But really, to get the most out of the game, you need to play with all the rules and using all the icons. And that is one of the downsides. On the base of your monster or your unit, you'll have a load of little icons which tell you what that can do. Now, they can be a bit hard to see, and they're even harder to remember what all the damn units actually can and can't do. Now, thankfully, someone has produced some PDFs and JPEGs which you can download and print out, and that will actually give you a unit card, and on the card it will actually tell you, you know, what the unit is and what its special abilities are. And they've done the same for monsters and buildings as well. So I recommend you grab yourself hold of those if you're into Monster Apocalypse. It makes playing the game a lot easier. Now, I really like the game. I'm very pleased to have picked up the Battle Box. Will I pick up some boosters? I'm not sure. If I do buy boosters, I've got a feeling the best way is you can actually buy a complete booster display box. And okay, you will end up with some duplicates, but you're guaranteed to pretty much get one of everything. And there were some very good sales over Christmas, in particular over in America. They had some very good discounts on some of the booster boxes. But I don't know. I might just stick with the battle boxes or go with singles off eBay. But I think it's a real shame they've gone down that kind of overly collectible format. I wish they'd gone more down the kind of living card game route, where you'd buy a box and you knew exactly what was inside it. And so you say, oh, I'll buy that box, and that box, and I've got what I want. But the battle boxes is a way of getting around that. If you just buy one battle box, you're not going to get any duplicates, and you can have a really good two-player game. You can then go on eBay and pick and choose to your heart's content. So I give, you know, two thumbs up to Monster Apocalypse. Really good. I've only given you a little light brush look, discussed quite a few concepts, which might be a little bit confusing. But it's a really, really good game. The first time I played it, I think it took 2 to 3 hours, and it felt like 10 minutes. It's a real brain burner. Lots of decisions, lots of strategy. Do I use my monster? Do I use my units? Do I use my power dice? How many white dice should I use? Do I destroy the building? Do I secure the building? Do I pick the guy up and throw him? Or do I just bite him or shoot him or whatever? Really, really good game. Thoroughly recommend it. Don't let the theme put you off. It's not a kiddies game. It is really good. Now, in interesting news, there has been a little bit of accusation that PP have not been giving it quite so much love as they should. This is partly maybe because they're big on their War Machine and Hordes Mark II, but also they've actually got a film coming up, and it's going to be the Monster Apocalypse film. And I believe Tim Burton's involved directing it. Haven't really seen much news. There is a fan-made trailer. It's not the official trailer. And that's by a load of guys called Team Covenant. And they've got a really good website, which gives you lots of support for Monster Apocalypse. It also covers the Spoil CCG and the Burning Wheel RPG. They also have a store where you can buy singles and armies. And they've got some really good bits and pieces going on there. They've also got some great videos, which are also available on YouTube. And they've got a really nice set of videos for a slightly old tournament where there's some guys at Gen Con playing at quite a fast and furious pace, and you can really see just how tactical and in-depth it is when you get to a slightly higher level of understanding. They also do have a more recent video, which looks really, really good. Unfortunately, they've only got a little preview of it. You have to actually buy the full version if you want to watch the complete match. Really good. Go check it out. They've also got some nice little training videos as well there, which will help give you an idea of how the game works. There you go. Anyway, I think that will probably do for today. I've waffled on for a good half hour. I hope you have a good year. and see you another time. So till then, happy gaming.